away for the Tomiko Cheltenham Gold Cup. Special Tiara wins the Queen Mother Champion Chase at the fourth attempt.
One for Arthur, it's holding on, brilliant, and it's one for Scotland.
This is the race that I've always wanted to win. This is the race that's in my heart.
One flight to go, Noel Feely can wait no more.
This is Love the Jumps Extra from the Jockey Club.
Hello and welcome to Love the Jumps Extra. I'm Abby Sawyer. Now, this week, Rupert Bell went down to visit Colin Tizard for us to talk Thistlecrack and what it's like working with your family. If you heard the shortened version of the interview in the podcast, here is the full thing in all its glory.
1-2-1-2, interview with Colin Tizard. Colin, season now cranking up. How excited are you about this season? Or is it a season that you feel you've got a bit more pressure on to deliver the goods?
Yeah, the pressure's been on for several years now. Like, you know, we've had Kukar for ages, so the pressure was on with him. We've got more of the better ones now, so it's pressure all the time. If it wasn't pressure, I don't suppose we would be doing it. If there was no pressure, we wouldn't be any good at it.
And clearly, last season, all the hype and justifiable hype around Thistlecrack, was that how did you look back at last season with the sort of the Thistlecrack factor?
Well, ultimately, I suppose we would love to run him in a Gold Cup, but you know, he had that little tear in his tendon, which was, you know, was a massive blow at the time. But you know, that's what we're dealing with in racehorses. It happens, and it will happen again. And but ultimately, like from the middle of January to Cheltenham, we hardly had a winner. Don't think we did. We went 52 runners without a winner. You need to be able to block that out and just say, right, we'll carry on exactly as we are. A lot of horses were getting placed, but they weren't running as well as. They will come back. And they did. They came back for Aintree and Punchestown brilliantly. So in the end, we came through it.
Here we are talking to you in your yard. You've got all the horses. This is where used to be where your cattle were kept, where you have the horses here. Linking the two, you are a sort of a natural animal man. Is there a sort of link between, you know, looking after horses and maybe looking after cattle? Is there some sort of link between the two? Do you bring your sort of animal husbandry experience?
Yes, there's no when not to. If you know about animals, you know they can't tell you they're not verbally, they can't tell you they're wrong, but you need to keep looking at horses. When we first started up, we used Vixen feeds, and I said to the chap who created the nut and had his own meal, how do I know how much to feed him? He said, keep looking at the horses, Con. Just keep looking at them, and then you decide. So that's what we do. Keep looking. We, you know, decide how much work to give them, how much feed. Most of it is, we worked out a sort of pattern over the years where 90% is routine, but sometimes we've got to take them out of their routine. Sometimes we've got to up their food. Sometimes we've got to put it down. And that's just looking at horses like you would cattle. So I'm sure there's a connection.
Do you use science at all? I mean, a lot of trainers do want to have the confirmation of science, or are you just, it's visual? I know you can tell when a horse feels right.
Yeah, well, none of us know. We've had horses scoped before, and the scope's been touch and go, and they would advise you not to run it, and you run it and it wins. And the next one you have scope and is perfectly good on the scope, and you run it and it runs bad. None of it is foolproof, so we scope horses if we don't really, if they're not right. We probably scope more horses after a race at the race course than ever we do at home. If they run poorly, we say, well, scope that one. And before we, you know, do it before we get home, then it's done to see if they bled or if they've got mucus. It's just to keep the owners in the picture, and then we'd know if they run poorly when they're expected to run well. But it's not rocket science.
For you, looking at this season, have you done anything different, knowing that you've got a better group of horses with maybe a little bit of expectation on your shoulders? You know, cue card still going, and having seen him this morning, looking as enthusiastic as ever. Have you thought, well, I need to do something different just to evolve?
We probably bought more three-year-olds. Most of our good horses here have come through the system. They might not even race as a three-year-old, some of them, or even the first... The 3 to 4, they might not race, but we've got very few flat horses. I think there's only 3 who have ever ran on the flat. The rest have come. Luckily enough, we've had a few owners buying us Irish pointer-pointers, which with form, and they're making a good job at the Irish people who are there. They buy these horses set up to run, so it's not an afterthought with them. Most of them are. Yeah, obviously they don't all work out as good, but there's some good ones coming out of that. Luckily enough, we've got a few people now who can buy the ready-made job. The ready-made as much as they want Irish point-to-point, which we didn't have before. But we've got a lovely... I'm amazed that, like, this year we've had a young horse who finished 4th, Tempest... lost in translation. It was a beautiful horse at Chepstow last week. Could nearly have won. Not should, he could nearly have. And dozens more like that.
How ambitious are you? You sometimes give the impression, well, it's all, you know, it's not, you know, quite laid back, you give the impression. But are you a man who says, right, I would love to be champion trainer?
There's no doubt. There's not... Tis our family, my brothers, you know, we're all in the same little farm to start with. I've got brothers who milk 2,000 or 3,000 cows, and another one milks nearly 2,000. I'm lag behind on the cow front because we do the horses, but we were motivated, something what mother and father put into us. And we won't stop until we won't stop ever if we can. We wake up every morning. I've got Joe and my daughter here. I've got a grandson ready in the wings to be a jockey. And it's just, we love every second of the big occasion. But it does come with, you know, there's a lot of strain on everybody because horses are like that. It's not like an engine. You just put the oil in, you know, and the fuel in and they run. Horses are forever having little disappointments, backing off. Chasers, you've got to run or stop, or the wind problem, or they're not good enough, or you've got sore shins, coughing, you name it. There's 1,000 reasons why they don't run very well.
And does it ever test your relationship with Joe, which is clearly very close? You know, you're in hand in glove. He's very much partner with you. Is it easy?
Yeah, Joe's quite laid back. You know, he always has been. Sometimes I say he's too laid back. You know. When he was first jockey at Nichols, he was still drinking 5 pints of beer with the young farmers every night. So probably that's why he lost that job. But you know, he's up with it now. I need someone else, and him and Kim would drive 15 miles to be here at 7 o'clock and out by 7:10 with first lot. So it's their business. There's their livelihood as much as mine. I just like to, if I need to walk away for a day, I do, and it carries on just the same.
How important is it for you to then walk away, just to sort of, do you get a chance to clear your head and sort of smell the roses?
Well, I've got to walk away. You have it all day long, every day. Yeah, I think if you're up here looking at horses all day long, every day, you wouldn't see anything. If you're away for a day, you tend to walk in here and think, well, that one's not right, or that's not right. And this, I think everyone knows that in life. If you can make, you know, you think you're indispensable, but you're not. So definitely this business would carry on without me just the same.
But no flat race, no jump season at the moment would be the same without Cue Card. He's coming back for more. Does he confound you every year?
Well, the fact is, he confounded me when he was a 3-year-old 8 years ago here, and he was... You know, it was about this time of year when we thought about running him. And I remember one day we went from a half pace to we give him a bit of work today against a good horse, and he beat it, and we must be good, because that doesn't ever happen. And he's done it again. You know, we've been busier with him this year, and he's had a race course gallop. We don't want to get to Weatherby on the back of like we did last year, and he got beat into third by horses that he beat the next time so easily. It must have been, we couldn't have had him right. You know, he might have had off day. It might not be anything we done, but we haven't left any stones unturned. And he loves, you watch him this morning, he loves working. You know, he's, you know, a couple of times last year, theatre guy nearly finished beside him at that gallop, but he was nowhere near him this morning. So he's ready.
He's ready. Thistlecrack, obviously, is going to be so much expectation on his return. Is that going to be hard for the Tizard team to manage, the expectations, or whatever you're expecting of him? Do you think you can find the key again, or is it that he will be like he was 12 months ago, or are you just taking a very relaxed view to it?
No, he's one of the best horses I've seen. You know, he was brilliant last year, brilliant the year before over hurdles. You know, there's absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be just as brilliant this year. He's a big, strong, big rib-caged horse. You know, we had him in first week in August. We're now nearly to November, and we're just starting to go a bit faster with him. He's got a month of fast work, and he'll be ready to run. We'll have a hurdle before we go in the King George, because we can't really go there first time up. And then, we don't, you know, I feel his legs once a week now, and someone else feels them every day, but I have a little feel, and they seem absolutely fine. I think, which leg was it? That's what I go, I'm sure it was that one. And he said, no, it's not, it's that one. That's it, there's nothing there to be seen. And so we'll treat him now without, no kid gloves. He will be doing all his work in the next month, ready for his first race.
What's the best part of the job for you, doing this?
Oh, every winner. It's all about winners, really. We had two at Wincanton last week, and we went to Fosse last and had a winner. It's just the excitement you get. What I really love about it, and, you know, I always work out, it's in my nature to work out the percentage of money what I'm getting out of it straight away. I try not to do it, but I know I do it. The fun I get is walking back in when the horse has won and the owners come up, and there's all the happiness and all the fun, have a drink afterwards, and the winning connections. It's so exciting, that is, isn't that? What makes all the little problems, they just sink away then.
Now, you moved your yard up, all the horses up to the yard. Was that the best thing you ever did, moving up to the top of the hill?
No doubt. Should have done it 10 years ago. This is third year up here, I think. Yes. Probably second, third. Third year up here, and we've got it set up properly now. It's, you know, we've got more stables up here. We're now on the computer up here, which this is a new thing this week, where me and Joe sit at this table, do entries. Joe does it online. We declare online, and it just takes the distractions away. When you're at home, you're having for breakfast. Do you want Weetabix or do you want cornflakes first? Or are you on a diet this week? Well, all those questions are being asked me, but I should be thinking about horses, really. And up here, we're straight on horses. We've got a good head girl, assistant trainer, you know, working for us now, who's looking after and working in the yard with Leah, because there's 100 horses, and they can keep on top of that. And I've got my daughter here and Joe, so we're trying to keep on top of all this.
Finally, are you on a diet?
I was, but I got on the scales last night, and I might have to have might have to go five times up the gallop next week, I think.
This is Love the Jumps Extra, brought to you by the Jockey Club, putting all profits back into British racing.